so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. And you have been so, so kind to me. Still your love far from me. And you have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. And you have been so, so kind to me. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't.
So we had a great time. I want to thank the church. Thank you.
of Scripture today. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter number 1, just reading a handful of verses. Verse 13 through 16, was drawn to it this past week. It begins in verse 13, says, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Father, as we come to you today, it's echoing in our hearts right now, in our minds, to be holy. And what does that mean? Help us to comprehend that and understand what holiness truly is. God, forgive me of my sins. The many times in my life that I failed you and come up short in holiness. And God, help us today to grasp hold of this truth and this great trait that we need to strive toward in being holy before you, standing before you clean and pure by the blood of Jesus Christ, and living lives that will be pleasing unto you as well. We thank you so much for today. We thank you for our mamas. We thank you for those that have been motherly influences in our lives. God as well, those that have stood and been that example before us. And we thank you, God, for those people that you strategically place in our lives to help us be pointed toward you and closer to you. Thank you for all that's been done today. Been a great time already to be in the house of the Lord. And we just ask you to continue. Let your Holy Spirit have freedom to move and stir among us and speak to our hearts and give us whatever we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Just a handful of verses, but obviously the word I want to look at is being holy, and he said that a lot, especially in that last couple of verses, being holy. And I thought how important it is for us to strive to be holy. Holiness is a pureness, a piety before God. And I think, you know something, we can come in here today on Sunday, we can all dress up, we can look good. We can act like one thing here and be completely something else when we leave this place. I don't want to do that, do you? I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be somebody that pretends to be something while we're here and then you're somebody else when you're alone, when you're behind closed doors. I want to be holy. And I think that's a goal we should all have in our lives, is to strive toward holiness. So when I was drawn to these scriptures, I was convicted in my own life of how important it is that we be consistent throughout our lives. Because you know something? I can fool you and you can fool me, but you will never fool God. God knows exactly what's going on in our hearts. And so it's important for us to understand we need to strive toward holiness. So I've got just basically today a collection of thoughts in regard to holiness. Not necessarily a rhyme or reason, but just some things for us to consider that if we want to strive to be holy. He did mention a couple of things. The first, verse number 13, he talks to us about being sober. We know what soberness means. It's not to be drunken or to be intoxicated, but it basically means in this passage to have a clear mind, to be able to process and to be able to think and to reason things in our lives. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we got to be observant. We've got to be clear of mind so that we can be holy. You can't be holy if we're distracted. We can't be holy if our mind and our heart is cluttered with things that don't need to be in there. That's the only way we can be holy. We can't be there any other way. So it's not so much talking about drinking and the intoxication, though it's hinted here, but he's talking about not allowing our minds to be so cluttered and distracted that we're not able to focus on those things that are most important, which is walking with God, listening to the Spirit of God. If we're not watching, we're not going to hear God. If we're not paying attention, we're not going to be able to listen to him, because most of the time we know that God speaks in that still, small voice. He's not going to scream at us, as sometimes we need him to scream at us, but he's going to speak to us, and we're given that opportunity to obey. So he's saying, be sober. If we want to strive toward holiness, we need to be sober. Then in that next verse, in verse number 14, he talks about obedience. Obedience there basically means to be attentive or compliant. It's not just, we don't have to always like what God tells us we need to do. We don't always have to agree with whatever God's telling us that we need to do. We don't have to fully understand what God's telling us to do, but we got to do everything we can to be obedient as children to what God's telling us to do. In 1 John 2:5, the Bible says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." Moses had it made after he left Egypt, right? He had already, don't ever forget, Moses murdered a man. And that's why he had to leave Egypt, right? He murdered an Egyptian, and so he fled for his life. And his picture was on the post office in Egypt. He was a wanted man, and they wanted him, and he was hiding out. 40 years, right? 40 years, he found himself in Midian. He met up with a man there. He had got married to one of his daughters, raised children there. Next thing you know, in the course of those 40 years, God had been working on the heart of Moses, preparing him to come back into Egypt. And so even though he was a wanted man, I guess it became what we call a cold case after a period of time. But Moses knew exactly what he did. Moses knew probably what was going to await him when he went there. But God said, "Moses, I want you to go back and to be my deliverer, to be my mouthpiece, because I want to go back and deliver my people, and I want to set a free. I'm going to use you to do that." Moses didn't have to like what God told him he wanted him to do. He didn't have to fully understand the process and how it's all going to go down. But if we want to be holy before God, we're going to have to become obedient children to God. When you were a kid, did you always understand why mom and dad told you what they wanted you to do or what they didn't want you to do? No. 90% of the time, we just felt like they were preventing us from having fun, didn't we? Isn't it amazing how we get a little bit of age on us, how educational and intellectual our parents really are? Wow, they really knew what they were talking about when we get some age on us. It's hard for us to see when we're a child what is dangerous and what's not dangerous, what they're trying to protect us from, or what they're trying to encourage us into that can be helpful and productive for us in our lives. So we don't have to always like it, kids, right? But we need to be obedient children. Same thing in our relationship with God. I don't have to understand everything he tells me to do, but I got to do the very best I can to try to honor him and obey him. That is pointing me toward this beautiful goal of being holy before God. You don't just wake up one morning and you're holy. Don't work that way. It's a work, it's a process, it's a relationship. I'm striving toward that holiness and that purity before God. So now let's get into it a little bit more. Those are some things that point us toward it, but now let's look at the word of being holy in itself. One thought in regard to it is we cannot, if we want to be holy, we can't be content where we are. In 2 Corinthians 5:2, it says, "For in this we groan," the word groan meaning to pray, to sigh, to be in anguish and a little bit tense and in stress. He said, so we're groaning, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So he's saying there's something out there that we as Christians, when we get saved, there's something better for us when we get to heaven. And not that we desire to die and just go to heaven today, but we need to be prepared for that and expect that, look forward to that, and be anxious about going to heaven one day. We're groaning today in these physical bodies. And can I tell you, every year that I get older, I groan more and louder at this body that's breaking down. But I know there's a glorified body that awaits me. So that's what he's talking about. He's talking about our natural bodies groaning for that heavenly body, for that glorified body. And he's saying we desire that thing. I don't want to be facing temptation anymore. I want to be exempt from that, don't you? I want to be exempt from sin. One day we're going to be there, friends, if we believe in Jesus. So what we're doing, we're groaning, looking forward to that. And we should never be satisfied in our relationship with God and feel as though we've reached a plateau and I've got everything I need to get. I don't need anything else from God. There should always be a desire inside of us, a fire that burns within us that you want something more out of God. Moses was, when he was there in Midian for those 40 years, he kept hearing about something of a God coming down and lighting on top of that mountain and communing with people. He'd heard about it, the stories, and he'd saw the lightning and the thunder and the dark cloud that wrapped the pinnacle of that mountain. And Moses said one day, he said, I want to go up there and see what's up there. I want to go see for myself, turn myself aside and see what's going on. He had that inquisitive mind that he wanted to see what it was all about. I think that's where we need to be spiritually. We never need to be satisfied in our relationship with God and feel as though we've reached the pinnacle, but strive toward a deeper relationship with God. Isn't it sad that people, when we get saved, never open the book, never really develop a prayer life, never really get involved in ministry, never really strive to want to make sure that other people are saved and know Jesus Christ, but get saved, truly have that experience with Christ, but just kind of hang around there and never really develop beyond that. I got to believe those people are probably, above all men, most miserable. Now, I know we can say, well, what about a lost person? They got to be more miserable than somebody that's saved and disobedient to God. I don't know about that. In the afterlife, when we leave this place, I guarantee you they're going to be more miserable, right? They're going to be in hell. They're going to be separated from God forever and ever. But in this life, once you've tasted of the fruit of the Spirit and you know what it means to be saved, to be disobedient to God, it's got to be a miserable place to be. And how sad it is that probably more people who are Christians are disobedient and wayward and reluctant to strive toward holiness than those that actually do. But God's preaching to us, screaming to us, don't be content. Don't just be happy and satisfied where you're at. Don't think I've learned it all and I've learned everything I need to know and I don't need to grow any further. The day that we say that we understand, by the way, anybody that tells you they understand completely the Word of God is a liar. And the truth is not in them. Nobody understands completely the Word of God. Why? Because if you could do so, then you're God. We should always strive to learn more about the Word of God because this is a living Word. It reveals Christ to us every time we open it up and turn the pages and read what He has to say to us. So we're growing, we're maturing in our walk and relationship with God. So don't ever be satisfied. If we want to be holy, then we can't be content where we are now. Second thought is this, there's a pattern to this holiness. If I want to be holy, then I should probably have somebody to look at to teach me, right, how to be holy. I mean, anything that you learn to do for the first time, how do you learn to do it? By watching somebody else, right? We learn how to play ball by watching somebody else play ball. Somebody teaches you how to run. Somebody teaches you how to catch a ball. Whatever it is, we observe other people and we learn from them how to accomplish these things. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps." Man, I love that. I mean, it said we should follow His steps. the steps he took. Every step he took, every step that the Savior took had purpose behind it. Everything Christ did had purpose behind it. Not one thing did he do without purpose, without a reason why that he did what he did. He interacted with people and crossed paths with people intentionally because he wanted to impact them. He showed us how to be holy. Jesus taught us how to be holy. We can learn now by his example. He was baptized. He went down in the river and let John baptize him. Not that he had any sin that needed to be cleansed, but it was an example that Christ set before us so that he could identify himself with the Father. And so we follow that example. Baptism doesn't make you any more saved, but it's an act of obedience. It's an opportunity for us to let the world know, I love going down to the river. Get to baptize folks. Hopefully it's going to start staying warm for us for a little bit. We got a handful of people that we need to get down there, and we need to duck them. So I'm excited about that. So we get to go down to the river. But it's a beautiful thing to be able to demonstrate publicly to the world that, hey, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus, and I'm publicly professing. It's a profession, a proclamation that I am saved and I'm no longer who I was, but I'm set free. So that's how Jesus showed us, by beginning from that baptism all through that ministry. You know, he had that Jairus came over to him, wanted him to go touch his daughter that was dying. So Jesus, on his way, he got delayed by another lady that came by grabbing the hem of his garment. I mean, Jesus was all the time being tugged and pulled by different people that wanted a relationship with him, wanted to talk to him, wanted to hear a word from him. And so Jesus was all about ministry. Yeah, he got tired. He got real tired because he was in this human body. He got tired as we got tired. But Jesus was consistent in ministering to the people that were around him. And if we want to strive toward holiness, you know what we got to be about? We got to be about ministry. Well, you're saying, well, I've not been called to preach. Well, no, maybe you haven't. This type preaching. Maybe you haven't been called to pastor a church or to stand behind a pulpit, but I guarantee you, the moment you got saved, you got put in ministry. There are people around you that Jesus wants them to see him through you. It may be people at school that you go to school with, work with, wherever it is, but there is a ministry to be had. Jesus also washed the stinky, nasty feet of those disciples. Sometimes striving toward holiness can begin a little bit dirty first, and we can gotta roll the sleeves up and get dirty a little bit if we want to strive toward holiness. Serving God is not always easy. It's not always standing before a 300-plus crowd every Sunday. This is the gravy and biscuits to my pastorate friends, just so you know. This is it right here. This is good. But I don't get to preach to 300 people every day of the week, right? There's got to be other parts that come together that we strive toward to be holy. There are some difficult things we have to deal with. There are some tough conversations we have to have. There are some difficult prayers that we got to pray. There are some things we got to do that, man, we'll wring our hands and we'll sweat and we'll just plead with God about what's going on in our lives or the lives of somebody else. Yeah, the road to holiness is not always an easy road, but it is always the right road. But Jesus taught us that, didn't he? Jesus was persecuted. Jesus was hated. He was despised. But those people that came up to him crawling, that couldn't walk, couldn't see, screaming his name, "Have mercy on me," they would say. The reason Jesus was holy is because those people needed his help. They needed a holy God. There are people around you that need you to be holy because they need somebody to get a hold of heaven for them. They need somebody to be able to come over and minister to them, to nurture them, to encourage them, to correct them, to point them toward Jesus Christ, who is the only means of salvation. So that's why we need to be striving. Don't be content and understand Jesus set the pattern for us so we can be holy because He is holy. The next thought is the field of our holiness. What should be contained if we're going to be holy? What I need to be thinking about? Well, I believe it needs to be basically two parts. Simplistic right here, okay? It needs to be inward and it needs to be outward, right? Okay, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I love how this is worded. He's saying you need to present your bodies a living sacrifice. That sounds to me like that's the extremity, right? That's the pinnacle. Wow, he's telling us we need to sacrifice ourselves to him. Well, then if I do that, then, man, I've accomplished all of it, right? I've hit the jackpot. I've done everything I need to do to satisfy God. But when you read the rest of the verse, the last part, he says, this is your reasonable service. No, for us to offer ourselves up, not an actual dying sacrifice, but a surrender is what this sacrifice means. Now he's saying this is just your reasonable service. This is the least God expects out of you and I, is to offer ourselves up. So we know we got a long way to go if we're expecting to be holy, right? We know it's a long process. It's a journey. It's a walk with God. But every day we can see ourselves becoming a little bit more pure, a little bit more blameless, a little bit closer to God. We can't fix everything in one day, but we can strive toward that holiness in our relationship with God. So again, I said it's two parts. It's inwardly. I got to strive toward holiness inside. I can't just be striving toward holiness outwardly. To explain, I can't just go around and act as though I'm just a good guy and help you and do this and do that and give everybody a bunch of false hope and just act like I'm your greatest friend. I'll do anything in the world for you. I can't go out here and expect to have a true impact on other people's lives unless inside I am striving toward holiness. If it ain't right in here, it is never going to come out right out there, and people are going to see it. You can fool people for a little bit of a time. You can't fool them all the time. Biggest thing is you can't fool God. I can't fool God. God knows my heart. And He knows if I'm being genuine. He knows if I'm not. So it's got to start with the inward. Daniel, while he was a captive, he went and prayed three times. Well, we know of three designated times that he prayed. I'm sure he prayed a lot more than that, but there were three times during the course of the day that he designated, I'm going to the window, I'm opening the window, I'm looking down toward where Jerusalem would be, and I'm praying these three designated times during the course of my day. I'm sure that Daniel prayed all day long. But he wanted people to know, not that he was trying to boast or anything, but he wanted to acknowledge God is important enough to me in my life that I'm setting aside about three times a day that I am going to be praying and nothing going to hinder me, no matter what decree may be set or established in the kingdom. Because he saw it was important to have something going on right in here. That's what we got to get. I got to make sure I'm getting this thing in here fixed up, making sure my heart is where it needs to be with God. So if I'm doing that and I'm building that relationship on the inside, then what's going to happen is that holiness is going to start to ooze out, and I'm going to begin to truly be someone that is genuine and pure and blameless and true to those people around me. I'm really going to be the kind of person I need to be around you. You're really going to be the kind of godly person you need to be around everybody else. We're not putting on a facade. It's not fake, but it's true and it's genuine and it's real. And there, my friend, is where we're going to have the impact. is when we understand this field of holiness, to begin inside and to work outwardly to make an impact on other people's lives. So then we say, okay, we get it. It's hard work. It's a journey. It's something we work toward every day. But do we have to wait till we get to heaven to see a reward for it? I mean, it's kind of like, do I have to wait till I die to really experience what holiness is bringing me? In Deuteronomy chapter 28, the first couple of verses, the Bible says, "And it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come to thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." You know what you're going to have? You're going to have peace that passes all understanding. If we're obedient to God and striving toward that holiness, I think peace is one of the most beautiful gifts of God outside of salvation itself. Peace. Man, you can't go to the store and buy a gallon of peace. They don't sell it. You just can't, you know, sit down and eat a good meal or watch a good program and say, "Boy, I got peace now. That just really set me where I needed to be." I can't just go talk to somebody and them, you know, hand me over a pocket full of peace. Peace doesn't come but by one way, by obedience to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So yes, there are rewards that we're looking for, obviously, when we get there. Rewards will be had. But he doesn't want to leave us empty while we're here. There is a lot to be gained in our relationship with Christ while we are here. We're obedient to him. We're striving toward holiness. You know what we're going to do? We're going to have peace. We're going to have peace that the world can't give, and God's going to bless us with it. Secondly, we're going to please God. You know, it's something when we as parents look at our kids and we'll ask them to do something. You know what? Whew, they actually do it. Have you ever been shocked that your kids have actually done something you ask them to do sometimes? I know my parents were shocked a lot when I was a kid. You know, it's kind of like a celebration if I do it on the first two or three times they told me to do it. So, but yeah, we're going to please God. When we're striving toward holiness, we're pleasing. He's going to have joy in his heart. It's almost like sending up that burning of the incense. You know, when they'd burn it and it go up into the air, God calls it like a sweet smell or a sweet savor up in his nostrils. You know, he's smelling it, you know. Ah, that smells good. That's the praise of the people that he's smelling, taking it in. And when we are obedient to God, we're praising him, we're seeking that holy lifestyle, we become a sweet fragrance in the nostrils of God. So yeah, we're going to have peace in our heart. We're going to please God. And we're going to become a blessing to other people. You're going to make a difference in people's lives. Don't strive toward holiness just because, I mean, obviously it's the right thing to do and we're commanded to be holy because God's holy. But think about the benefit that comes with it too. Why would we not want to strive toward holiness? Why do I not want it? Because if I'm striving toward it, I'm going to have peace. I'm going to please God. I'm going to be a blessing to people that are around me. I got several things in my life that are going to be so much better if I'm striving to be closer to Jesus Christ. You will never fail if you are striving toward a right relationship with Jesus Christ. So holiness, that's where I've been at this week. Maybe it's hitting you, maybe it's not. Maybe it will a little bit later. Maybe it will next week. May never hit you. But it hit me. And that's where God had me this week, is talking about living a holy life. I guess because we think of social media today, how powerful it is, how it influences lives, how it affects people's lives, but how it can be so false and develop such insecurities. And how it can put out something that is not true, but give the impression of truth I don't got to be accepted in social media. I want to be accepted by God. And how we do that is to strive toward holiness. You know something? We should be worried about just one like, one thumbs up. If we're liked by Him, if we've got that thumbs up from Him, then everything's good. So how does all this start? How do we begin the journey of holiness? By believing Jesus as Lord and Savior. In such a crowd we have this morning, I would imagine not everybody in here is saved. I would imagine there's some folks perhaps struggling with salvation, unsure about your relationship with God. Do you have one? Do you have that moment you can go back to? That's when I gave my heart to Jesus. If you're here today and you've never been saved and you feel the Spirit is pleading with you, when that time comes, that's when you need to get a hold of it. That's when you need to embrace it. That's when you need to cry out to Him. If today is that day for you, I encourage you to come and get things right with God today. But if you're here and you're already saved and you know what, you're not being holy. You're not striving toward holiness. You haven't seen the benefit of it, and you need to get that settled today. You do that as well. Stand with us as we begin our invitation.